Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The word evangelize is not found in our English translations of the Bible. We do read of evangelist, and the meaning of evangelizing is found with emphasis in the New Testament. To evangelize means to instruct in the gospel and to convert one to the faith of Christ. The New Testament uses words like preach and teach, edify and admonish, and instruct, and similar expressions. To evangelize includes these things and more. When we comprehend the implications of the term evangelize, we're impressed with the fact that whatever this involves, this is a primary work of the church. This involves the process whereby Christians bear fruit to the glory of God. As children of God, we're to no longer serve self and sin and Satan, but God and our fellow man. Certainly the greatest service one can render to another is to bring him to Christ and the salvation that Christ provides. Now, there are many kinds of evangelistic efforts. Each one results in varying degrees of success. The real success of evangelizing is the salvation of a precious soul, once lost, but saved from sin and brought into fellowship with deity through Christ. Successful evangelism is ultimately accomplished one person at a time. Now, we may teach and preach to masses, and this we must do. We may even declare the gospel unto nations through electronic methods. But the desired result, the conversion to Christ, must be produced individual by individual. Nations are converted one person at a time. There must always be that personal response to the gospel. So evangelism involves reaching the individual with the saving truth. To evangelize, there must be action on the part of the Christian. The first command of the Great Commission of Jesus to his disciples, and then through them to every Christian, is to go ye into all the world, Matthew 16 and verse 15. Go ye therefore, Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse 19. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, But ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now this he commanded just before he ascended into heaven when he was speaking with his apostles. And the early saints acted in this manner. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Now the motive behind this action is, as Paul expressed in Romans 10 and verse 1, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Friend, there is no salvation apart from hearing the word, Romans chapter 10, 13 through 17, James 1 and verse 21. They show the absolute essentiality of the word. And every Christian has a duty to do his own going. Sometimes we say, either go yourself or send others. What we really must do is to go ourselves and send others. Now, sometimes we may think that evangelism is only in terms of going to distant lands. And we certainly respect those who do go to distant lands with the gospel. Their sacrifices and efforts reflect an understanding of evangelism that many of us who stay at home never comprehend. But we must also keep in mind that evangelism can be accomplished near home, with friends and family and neighbors, even our own children. All efforts are vital in getting the work done that Jesus charged. We can be a part of going by sending others, but we can also be a part of going by teaching someone nearer to us. The lost cannot be saved without the word. And whether we go personally, or provide funds for others to go, or both, evangelism demands going. We must place emphasis on the sinner coming, but we also must not neglect our going. With the going there must be the preaching and the teaching of the truth. That which is to be preached is the gospel. Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The disciples went everywhere preaching the word, Acts 8:4. None will be saved without the gospel being preached, Romans 10. 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Preaching and teaching was at the heart of the mission of Jesus Christ. And Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Paul taught the necessity of preaching the word in 2 Timothy 4:2. He was one who went to Antioch and to Jerusalem, to Rome, to Philippi, to Berea, Thessalonica, Corinth, Athens, place after place. He taught in schools, synagogues, in homes, marketplaces, in jails, in the halls of judgment, and even by the river's side. Always his message was the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1:23-24, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. That was what Paul preached. Philip preached Jesus to the Samaritans. He taught them the kingdom of God, Acts 8:5-12. Giving warning against preaching anything else, Paul did in Galatians 1:6-9. People may hear many messages, and each one may produce a certain result. But friend, there is only one message that will evangelize, because there is only one that will save. There is only one faith, Ephesians 4:4-5, and one shepherd and one Savior, John 14:6 and Acts 4:12. We must know, therefore, that to successfully evangelize means giving emphasis to the way by which one is delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, Colossians 1:13. Oh, it's popular in religion to omit and minimize and substitute and change the message to accommodate the doctrines and the sins of men. But without the pure gospel, heard, believed, and obeyed, evangelism is not successful. Now, successful evangelism involves also confirmation. In Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. In Acts 15:41, and he, that's Paul, went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now, these passages have no reference to some man-made ritual that some undertake to perform over a child who's been sprinkled as an infant. That's not biblical confirmation. This is not an exercise to admit one into full admission and communion of a church as practiced by some denominational bodies. To confirm simply means to edify, and to strengthen, and to exhort, and to build up, and teach more, providing that which is needful for spiritual growth and maturity. The necessity of confirmation is seen in the repeated exhortation to grow. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this requires study, 2 Timothy 2:15. We are to be doers, not mere hearers, James 1:22. And only through confirmation can one prevent apostasy. Friend, God is able to keep us from falling, Jude 24, provided we partake of the food of the word by which we are strengthened and made capable of resisting the devil and remaining faithful to the Lord. There is a great need for a Christian who is taught to be taught and reminded over and over again. The church most likely to fall away is one that is untaught. Division is more possible when the church is untaught. Lukewarmness and indifference and apathy and succumbing to a mere housekeeping operation is more probable when the church, the saved, are not taught more and more. Without confirmation, there will be less loyalty, less devotion, more worldliness and hypocrisy alongside the potential of compromise. One generation of untaught Christians will plunge the church into another apostasy that will extend for generations. The soul once saved, but unconfirmed, will turn again to the entanglements of the world from which he was delivered. Confirmation is necessary to Christians in their worship, to refrain from the appearance of evil in their lives, to do good works, to respect authority, and to win others to Christ, reflect Christ, and bring glory to God. One reason the Lord's church is beset with so many battles from within is because so many brethren are not taught as they should be. Oh, they've been baptized, but they went to sleep beside the water. Confirming brethren is an essential part to maintain and retain faithfulness by growth and increasing spiritual strength. Evangelism, friend, it involves going, it involves preaching, it involves confirming, it involves me, and it involves you to do this going and preaching and confirming. The work of the church is carried to a successful end only to the extent that each child of God is involved in this going and preaching and confirming. If Christian people, the ones who profess to care for souls, do not evangelize, just who do we expect will do it? The importance of this work might be emphasized in two ways. What if you and your loved ones were the ones who were the unsaved, out of Christ, doomed and without hope, without knowledge of the truth, possibly even without knowledge of your own spiritual disastrous state? Would evangelism be important to you then? Would you care if anyone evangelized, if you were among the lost? Had you just as soon die apart from Christ? Or would you want somebody, somewhere, to bring the gospel your way? It can be emphasized again by just reminding us of the Lord's displeasure with those of us who are His children, who make no effort to do their best in His service. Someone has loved you enough, Christian brother or sister, to teach you the truth. Do you not think you ought to do as much for somebody else? Are not these things about which we can do something? But will we do something about them? To evangelize is our task. Will we be busy doing the Lord's business? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.